Grace and peace to you from the Lord our God, creator of heaven and earth, and through the living spirit of Jesus Christ. How good it is to gather on this holiday weekend, this Labor Day holiday weekend, where we today in worship contemplate how it is that we work, all the work that we do, all the work that is done on our behalf. And in the midst of all of this, we find peace and solace, comfort, and rest. May it be so that we gather in the midst of this holiday weekend and find holy days. May we be for and with one another, the body of Christ. It is good to gather together today. So I invite us to call one another to worship. There are words printed in your bulletin, and they'll be on the screen. In the bulletin, they are bold, because that is you. And I will be not bold. We will share together responsibly an adaptation of James 1. Gathered in this holy moment, we come eager to listen and act.
As God's only beloved ones, we belong to God's word, planted in our lives, pushing the world in us.
So let us worship the giver of life. Spend time together in worship. May we become doers of the word.
Thank you.
and it's hard for me. So bear with me. And I invite you to settle into this place of peace and hope and continue in a spirit of prayer. I invite you to consider the labors of this week. I invite you to consider for a moment Labor Day. And remember all that you do for work, for labor, for God in this world. And also remember all of the people who labor on your behalf. Maybe it is that you know them by name as they serve you coffee, as they give you your plate of food, deliver your mail. Or maybe it is you don't know them at all. And in this contemplation of all of the work that happens so that we might work together to keep all of this running and going and moving forward, to consider the individuals in the systems. If only for a little while. And to know all of the workers, and remember the workers are people. Each one a beloved child of God. And then maybe it could be that you offer all of this contemplation. And maybe it could be you offer all of the work that you do, that is done for you. Offer all of these good things to God, so that your whole life could be a tapestry of prayer, a working for good in this world. We offer all of these people, all of these deeds and actions and intentions to God. And we continue in a spirit of prayer. We continue to lift and rise and open our hearts to God and to one another. I invite you then, as you feel comfortable, as you feel guided, I invite you to open and lift aloud your joys and your concerns. Are there joys or concerns that you would share today so that we who are gathered here, your family, may help share in your joy and help carry your burden? Oh, wow.
Thursday, I celebrated 28,000 days on Earth.
This might sound like an announcement, but it's a concern and then it's a joy. I'm aware that some people have not been able to hear during the service, and even when they picked one up, one of these assistive devices, it didn't work. So Kevin put new batteries in all of them this last week, so these are all operational now. If anybody wants such a thing, they're back here. So the concern is that people are not able to hear. The joy is, hopefully we can help with that. Mm-hmm.
Also thinking of all of the people who work in our community of faith to keep it going and keep everybody looking and being our best.
First, for the family of a good friend of mine, Marilyn Bullich, who died last night. The first time I was in this church was 1968 as her bridesmaid when she got married here. So it's a great loss.
Prayers for the family of Mary and Ken Broman. Mary helped raise my kids, and their son Wayne passed away suddenly from a heart attack this last week.
I need prayer because my garden has got an idea and I like it, and I hope it comes to prayer that it comes true.
Offer prayers for Marge McKee and her family, her sons Richard and Mark. We will celebrate and witness to her life and resurrection here tomorrow at 11 a.m. There's a service for Marge McKee. And also, I am leaving from church today to go to the Pride Parade. Twin Ports Pride Festival is this weekend, so it will also all of our people, all shapes, sizes, orientations, everyone is all, they're all here. So we remember and celebrate together. I invite us to continue in a spirit of prayer. There are words printed, and we can share them together as we feel led by the spirits. We can pray together, saying, "I will be your little canoe, just big enough for you. Whatever grace you pack for our journey, help me where you go. Surely I will drift and slip sideways in the wind, but that too is your spirit, and you will guide me as we go. In still or troubled waters, I will trust your touch, surrender to your being, and go where you paddle me. When I find myself upside down and out of sorts, I will know you are portaging me to the next passage. I will trust and wait and let you carry me until again, by your grace, it is that I will carry you." Oh, beloved, God loves you. God knows you. All the work that you do, all the work that you don't do, all the things you want to do, God knows you. You are a beloved child of God, and we are all children of God. And so we pray together to our common parent. We pray together, saying, "Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done
based in it, you'll hear two gospel songs. One is Koshawak with Thee, and the other is Do Lord. And also, thanks to Kevin, our trusted drummer, who does a lot of wonderful things for this church.
I was thinking it was amazing. They're so good. And they're so good because they have a little hole in them, and you can suck, you can use them like a straw to drink more chocolate. Do you want? Well, who would ever do that? That's just terrible. That's a lot of sugar. Hi. So do you know that this weekend is a holiday weekend? Have you heard? It's Labor Day weekend. It's where we think about all the people who work, and then we think about our work. Have you ever thought about work? Do you know what you want to be when you grow up? Where did I put the microphone? Oh. Do you know what you want to be when you grow up? Have you ever thought about it? No? Anybody? Have you ever thought about it? Huh.
I don't actually know what I'm going to be.
That's right. You just turned 10, right? Happy birthday, by the way. That's right. You have a lot of time to figure it out. Have any of you ever... This, I thought maybe we would talk for a little bit about like what we're going to do when we grow up. But now I don't have that to work from. So have any of you ever thought about like being a pastor? No? Have you thought about it? Being a pastor? Like, what do pastors do anyway?
They preach.
They do that. Mm-hmm.
They will preach.
So I preach. Mm-hmm. See, they said that again because that's a lot. I do, yes, we preach a lot. Mm-hmm. But we also bless. Like, we're going to have communion. So we get to bless and we talk to people. We spend time with people. We visit people in the hospital. We read and make strategic plans. Anybody have a strategic plan in their pocket? No? Well, we make strategic plans. And as one person said, Pastor Larry, pastors just go like this. Which I thought was a really accurate definition of what pastors do. And then we go like this, and then we walk over to there. We go from here to over there. Doesn't that sound like fun? Isn't being a pastor the best job you've ever heard of? You could do it. Do you want to do like? Do you like the blessing or the preaching part the best? Do you like the blessing? Gwen likes the blessing. I think that's amazing. And also, let's not forget, pastors get red vines, which is the best part of the job. What a wonderful day to celebrate and to work like a pastor today. You're all working like pastors today. You're eating your red vines, you're standing up front, and now you get to go bless and do the work of a pastor. Thank you for spending some time up here. I invite you to consider for a little bit. Maybe when you go home today, you can talk about what you want to maybe think about what some opportunities are for work. You could totally be a pastor. Do you know what your parents do? Yeah? Yeah. It's so maybe when you go home, do you know what your parents do? Maybe when... Okay.
My dad counts the money.
Oh, that's a great job. Yep. So when you go home, maybe you can talk about the work, you know, the work that your parents do, how the money comes, where it goes. You can talk about how we get paid. You can talk about what you do around the house. So these are some things you can think about when you think about Labor Day weekend. And also, I hope in the midst of all of this, you don't forget to eat your red vines and spend time together and pray with one another. Can we pray with each other? Okay, let's pray. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for your love and your care and your inspiration to do good work in this world. Help us to do good work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And I think you're going to hang out in church today because in a little bit we're going to have communion. So just go back, hang out, color, spend some time with Jesus, spend some time with us, we'll sing, and yeah.
community, in our community of faith, and in our world. I invite you to consider ways that God might be inspiring you or encouraging you to try something new, to work in this world for good, for justice, and for peace. I think that there is a never-ending opportunity for good work in this world. Let us not grow weary of doing good, but let us continue in our mission and ministry. Let us continue to encourage one another, to put our hearts back in our bodies. And I invite you to continue in the spiritual practices of our faith. There are lots of them. Worshiping like this, singing and praying, grieving and eating and sharing communion, and also giving. May it be so that we are generous, gracious givers, that we give and also receive, and give and also receive. I invite you and encourage you to give and receive our morning offering today.
evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are all perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obeys him?" I'm not sure about this title. I don't know. Sometimes I get asked what the title is on Tuesday, and I'm not sure what the title is on Tuesday, so this might not, I don't know if this is going to be helpful. There are several ways that it could go in preaching this sermon and talking about this scripture passage. And maybe that you have heard many sermons preached on this scripture passage. So there is one way that I could go. We could talk about Jesus. And somehow, Jesus is God, and Jesus can do things that we cannot. Jesus can do things that we can't do. He has superpowers. Jesus can save the day. And then we could all go home. I mean, that could be, yeah, that would be a good sermon. Or we could talk about the context of the scripture passage. This is from the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the first gospel that was written between the years 50 and 70. Not the first book in the New Testament that was written. Just off the cuff, do you know what was the first book written in the New Testament? Scholars suggest that maybe 1 Thessalonians was the first book written, the earliest book. So this is written around between 50, 70 AD. And there were, the church was trying to figure out its identity, trying to disengage from the Jewish culture and tradition that it had been formed in. And it was the years of church persecution. So, the church is a boat in the midst of very stormy seas. Persecution and martyrdom might be qualified as a stormy sea. And they were looking, so then they were looking for, wanting to feel assurance. And so the message could be, Jesus calms the waves of life. Just hang in there. Also a good one, right? Like, not bad. That's a solid sermon. The trouble is, it's like with Jesus, often is the trouble for me, Jesus stops me short in this scripture passage. Go ahead, read it when you get home today. Go ahead and read it again. Maybe read it every day this week and see what happens. Jesus, in this scripture passage, talks to his disciples. And in the very mystical way that scripture does, Jesus is talking to us. And it's almost as if he looks me straight in the eye and he says, "Have you still no faith? Or don't you have faith yet?" And there's this hint. It's just a hint of the, do I have to do everything kind of sentiment. There's this hint, maybe just a hint, that the disciples could have dealt with this thing themselves. That Jesus was waiting, hoping, wolves would deal with the problem itself. For, as it says in some passages of Scripture in John,
and with this power,
we can do some serious stuff. Maybe it's something to ponder. And it would mean that we would stop. I mean, it would mean stop worrying about hell. You're not going to hell. And if someday you find yourself at the gates of hell, remember this. Write it down. Lot and Clause 2008. Write it down. Lot and Clause 2008. 2008, Jesus and I worked it out. And if any one of us is going to go to hell, I'm taking it. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell everybody. Lot and Clause 2008. I got it. You're not going to hell. What then are you going to do? What then are you going to work out with Jesus? What is your task on this planet to do for good and for God in this world? And do that. You have the power. Jesus offers his power, his Holy Spirit to us at Pentecost. We've had this for months, and then we do this again every year. Jesus has given us the power. And he's like, what? Have you no faith yet? I mean, I imagine he has some Jewish accent, I don't know why. Have you no faith yet? Then do it. And this from the lectionary reading today, from James. Anyone who sets themselves up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air. Real religion, the kind that pleases God, is this. Reach out to the homeless, the loveless, and join in their plight. Protect one another from apathy. May it be so. We're going to sing. Those who love and those who labor.
Words are on the screen, and this is a familiar tune, so it should be fun.
Those who love and those who labor, follow in the way.
small, whether you've been here for 1,000 years or you've been here if this is your very first time, all people are welcome at this table. All creation is welcome at this table. For this is not my table. This is not your table. This is God's table. And God invites everyone. God is love. Now, I've heard that this might be the first time that we've ever shared communion in this way. We're going to share communion together today. So we're going to pass the elements to one another, and as you feel comfortable, as you feel guided, offer one another words of grace. Maybe like, this is the body of Christ, or this is the life of Christ, or this is the cup of salvation, or this is strength for your journey, or whatever words encourage you or you feel rising in your mouth as you share communion together today. You're going to pass the elements to one another and offer words of grace. Can you do that? Oh, you can do this. It's totally fine. And it's not like the first time. You know, sometimes, like, you think you get words of, you get elements of grace. What are you supposed to do with it? I don't know. But share it. Pass it along. It's okay if you stumble around. Go ahead. Turn around and pass it to the person behind you. Look around and see who needs what the elements of grace and share them together today. You'll be fine. We can do it. We'll be fine. We can do it. We'll be fine. We can do it. We'll share and celebrate today. There are words printed in our bulletin, and our friends are going to help share them today.
Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "What you do speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you're saying." You have declared, "You are what you do, not what you say you do."
Jane Austen in Sense and Sensibility wrote, "It isn't what we say or think that defines us, but what we do." These restate James, be doers of the word and not merely hearers.
At this table, we're grateful Jesus did not simply teach the disciples in a crowd to his word, but in an upper room, he acted.
Today, we too, we act like Jesus did. We take bread and bless it. We break it and then share it with each person who has come to this meal. All are welcome here as we do this, remembering Jesus. Saying,
"The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is good and fruitful work to give thanks to you, Almighty God, in all places and at all times and in all our tasks.
In our cars, our homes, our offices, our fields, and our kitchens, at our tables, our desks, our telephones, and computers, when we are resting or waiting, laboring or supervising, following or meeting.
All of these we do with all your people, now on earth and all the multitude of heaven, praising your name and joining in their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and holy is your work among us in Jesus Christ, who came to be born in the home of a carpenter, a trade he learned and practiced, a laborer in our midst.
He called out fishermen and activists. He healed the servant of a soldier. He received the support of resourceful women. He delegated his ministry to his disciples, empowered all his followers to do his divine work in this world.
By his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from the bondage of sin and the fear of death, and made with us a new covenant by water and spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said,
"Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
And so, as a baptized and commissioned people, remembering your mighty work in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves, our daily lives, and our unique locations for ministry in the world.
Homes and hospitals, parks and stores, field and forest, in office buildings, schools, churches, prisons, and concert halls.
As a living and holy sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is God, Christ is risen, Christ is with us now.
So we ask, O God, that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice, so that they may become for us the body and the life of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his love. Make us one with each other and one in ministry to the whole world. And we offer now all our glory and praise. Almighty God. Amen. And as the bread and the cup come to you, take them and offer them to the person seated next to you, around you. Offer words of love and encouragement. And know the blessings, the gifts of grace. And it's okay. Go ahead, turn around to one another. It's okay. You can get up and walk. You're all good. And I invite us to remember that we are blessed and we are called. I invite us to join in singing our prayer, "We Are Called." The words.
This is you at the UFO. This is you. This is Sarah Thompson.
Now.
Yeah.